Okay, tonight is Monday night, March 8th, or Chof Gimel Adar. This is the Gemara Shir, Masech HaSukkah, bottom of Daf Lamed Hey, Amud Beis.
Okay. Rabotai, we're on the bottom of Chof Gimel Lamed Hey, Amud Beis. Last two lines, three lines. The Mishnah said, Niklaf, if an Eslof has its peel removed, it's possible. Amar Rava, Hai Esroga, the Iglid, Ki Ahina Sumka, Kshera. An Eslof, which after it is peeled, looked somewhat reddish, and this is very prevalent. Whenever you peel a fruit, the skin will start taking a reddish type of color. So the Mishnah, so the Gemara says that such an esrog is kosher. Ask the Gemara, for ha'anan tana niklaf pasul. Have we not learned in the Mishnah that if the peel has been removed, the esrog is pasul? So how does Rav come along and say that if an esrog is peeled and the flesh of the esrog starts turning reddish, it's kosher? Answers to Gemara, loy kasha. Ha bekula, ha bemiksasa. One situation is when part of the peel has been removed. The other situation is when the entire peel has been taken off. So as to which case is kosher and which case is pasul, whether it's a foot, whether it's completely removed the peel or only partially removed the peel, that's a machlokes Rashi and the Rabbeinu Chananel. So take a look at the top Rashi on the top of the page. Says Rashi, ha bekula kosher. If the entire peel has been removed, the entire peel of the esrog has been removed, the esrog is kosher. Ha benitzasa. But if only part of the peel has been removed, then it's pasul. Says Rashi, why? Diminu marhu. Because it'll look spotted. What's going to happen is the part of the esrog which is peeled, the flesh of the esrog now is exposed to the air and will start turning brownish red. The rest of the esrog will have its yellow skin, and then it'll start looking polka dot, which is minumar. And we've already seen before that minumar happens to be possible. Rashi believes that when the Gemara answered ha b'miktsasa, ha b'kula, b'kula meant that it was kosher. If the entire skin of the esrog is peeled off, then the esrog is kosher. But if only part of the skin of the esrog is peeled off, it is not kosher due to the fact that it will create this spotted type of look. And we've already documented that minumar happens to be possible. That's the way Rashi learns the Gemara. Take a look at the Tosfos in the middle of Daf Lamed Vav Amud Aleph. Tosfos quotes Rabbeinu Chananel. Perush Bekunfris, B'miktsasa pasul demetzei k'minumar. If part of the skin of an animal, of an esrog is removed, it is pasul, claims Rashi, demetzei k'minumar. The Rabbeinu Chananel Piresh Ipcha. And the Rabbeinu Chananel interpreted Pumkapoya, exactly the opposite. Bekulu Pasul. If the entire skin peel of the esrog has been removed, it is Pasul. Bilitrefos Midame Lo Bishmaitin. Because our Gemara is going to say something shocking in just a few moments and establish that there is such a psul of an esrog which is called a trefa. something which we normally associate with an animal. An animal can be a trefa because it has a physical defect. The Gemara now is going to compare some of the physical defects that are found in Maseches Chulin, in the third parak, Elu Trefos, where the Mishnah enumerates 18 trefos, and we're going to let Seth give the share on those, because he knows trefos better than he knows trefos, right? Sure. He's going to learn Chulin, he studied trefos. Yeah. So, what?
Chulin is a flayed animal, right? Flayed. Skin.
In which?
The.
Yeah, that's exactly what he quotes. Precisely. There you go. So, and there the Gemara is going to say that an animal that has its skin totally peeled is considered a trefa, but an animal with only partially skinned, partially where the skin has been removed, is not a trefa. So since our Gemara is going to be establishing some type of parallel between an etrog and an animal, don't ask me how the Gemara comes to this conclusion, but we're going to try to see the origin of it. For this reason, whatever the standard is by an animal now applies according to the Rabbeinu Chananel to an etrog. And the Gemara in Chulin says that if you have an animal which every ounce of skin has been removed, the animal is a trefa. Let's read it inside. Second line. The letrefos nidami lo bishmait, because our Gemara establishes a comparison of etrog to an animal of trefa. The gabe trefos ashkechan beperet letrefos, as Seth just said, he responded to my challenge, which I knew he would. Hagluda, if the skin has been removed, it's trefa. However, that's only if all of the skin has been removed, then it's trefa. The im nishtayer ba tisela, if some skin left, which is the side of a sela, certain measurement, kshera. Now here comes the critical line where you can now attack Rabbeinu Chananel. Why is it that if there is some skin left that it's not considered a trefa? Dehadra beria. Because the skin can regenerate. And as a result, it's not called a trefa. One of the definitions of a trefa is that an animal has a physical defect, and there are 18 listed in the third paragraph of Chulin, and the assessment of Chazal is that a trefa eino chaya yoter miyud bet chodesh. That an animal that has one of these yud chet trefot cannot live more than 18 months. Excuse me, 12 months. You'd better call 12 months. Can't live more than 12 months. And as a result, it's going to die. But if one of the physical defects can repair itself, then there is no reason to assume that it's going to die. Because given some time, the skin will regenerate. And as a result, under those circumstances, the Gemara in Chulin does not disqualify as a trefa an animal where only part of its skin has been peeled. Even the majority has been peeled, as long as there is kisela left. Therefore, Rabbeinu Chananel makes the same application here. An etrog which is entirely peeled is pasul, and because it's trefa, and an etrog which is partially peeled is not trefa, and therefore it is kosher. Kacha lomeid harabeinu chananel. What?
The flaw is that the comparison
is... Of course. Yeah. The flaw is that the explanation which the Gemara itself offers in Chulin, why I discriminate between all the skin and part of the skin, namely that it can regenerate, is not true by an etrog. Because once you sever the etrog off the tree, no growth is possible. So if you take an etrog which is three-quarters peeled or even half-peeled, it's not going to regenerate the skin again. So this analogy between the Gemara in Chulin and here is obviously not valid, And that probably is causing Rashi to disagree with the Rabbeinu Chananel. And therefore Rashi believes the deficiency lies elsewhere. So if it's partially removed, it has this spotted effect. Yellow, brownish. But if it's fully removed, it'll all get reddish-brownish. You won't see any yellow at all. That doesn't create the spotted effect. Yes?
A field etcher doesn't fall into a chaser category?
No. The Gemara is going to say that the definition of chaser is only the flesh of the fruit itself, but the skin. Otherwise, there'd be nothing to talk about. Correct. It's a little difficult to understand why that's the case. I don't know. But, yeah. Yeah?
Rashi doesn't compare it to trefa. He doesn't compare it to trefa. At this point, what is he going to have a
trefa
for?
Okay, so...
Therefore, he's working on what the Gemara has given him until now, which is...
I understand, but Rabbeinu Chananel says, why didn't he agree with Menumar? It's a good question. I don't know why. What coerced Rabbeinu Chananel to anticipate what the Gemara is going to say in a couple of minutes, namely, if an Esrog developed Simone Trefos, what happens to it? I don't know.
You make the argument that the analogy doesn't have to be perfect. Mm-hmm. What determines an animal's trefus or not is regeneration. Now, what determines an Esrog's, kashrus is whether it looks a certain way. And the fact is, when there's a certain amount of skin is on, it still looks nice.
Okay, but trefa by an Esrog, as we will soon see, has nothing to do with Hazar. It's a separate, independent soul. It has nothing to do with other. It's a separate tool called trefa. And it's not to be measured by whether it looks nice or doesn't look nice. Before we continue with the Gemara, let's see, as I said a minute ago, the whole comparison of the Rabbeinu Chananel, which is to be blamed on the Gemara, to equate trefa to an esrog seems very, very strange. So if you'll take the Rambam that I distributed, the Rambam paves the way for establishing a principle which can be somewhat semi-intelligent, at least, in understanding what happened in this mother. I ask you, gentlemen, to think of Vayikra chapter 1, Verse 2. Vayikra, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Bet. Okay? Vayikra Elohim El Moshe, Ba'ol Moed Lemar. Vayikra El Moshe, Ba'idaber Hashem Elah, Ba'ol Moed Lemar. Uda, Vavavam, Ki Akriv Mikem Korban Lashem, Min HaBehema, Min HaTzom, Umin HaBakar. That's what the Pasuk says. So the Gemara darshins, the Medrash Halacha, Rashi quotes it, Alatar right there, that the word min means from amongst the sheep. Apparently, not every shepsula is accepted for a korban. Min habakar, from the cattle. Not every cattle is acceptable. So each one, where the word min appears, is lahaitzi something. One is lahaitzi trefa. That if you have an animal that is trefa, you are not permitted to be makriv that animal as a korban on the mizbeach. A second one is ne'evad. If an animal has been worshipped by avodah zarah, ne'evad, worshipped by avodah zarah, not permitted to makriv that korban as an animal. If it's finirvad. If the animal had relations with a human being, that automatically disqualifies the animal from a korban. That's the makar in Torah Kohanim, the Medrash Halacha, Rashi, and that Pasuk Beis quotes it right there. Right there. And those of you who remember Chumash from the first grade, if that was your practice, right, you learned Vayikra. Say for Vayikra. You learned before you went to Lech Lecha, the Bereshis, you learned Vayikra. Right? This is a Medrash. Yavol Tahorim V'yit Asku B'tahara. Let innocent babes come and discuss the unit of the Torah that discusses Tum and Tahara. Okay, first you learn Tulshani of Vayikra, and then you go. I once said, just as an aside, that there's a much more powerful reason why you should learn Sefer Vayikra. Much more powerful. And that's Rashi's opening remark on Vayikra El Moshe. Vayikra El Moshe. Does anybody remember Rashi's opening comment on Vayikra El Moshe? Vayidaber Hashem Elov Me'ol El Moed L'mor? No, that's Al Zira. That's comparing to Vayikra and Vayikar of Villa. What's Rashi's comment? What's the pasuk? It says, Vayikra El Moshe, Vayidaber Hashem Elov. So what's repetitive? So there he says, but he called them and he spoke them. It's the same thing. So Rashi says, Vayikra El Moshe, first is Lashon Chiba. Moshe, how you doing? How's everything? Did the Yankees win last night? Are you happy or not? Then he got Vayidaber Hashem Elov, then he starts teaching the halal. Rashi claims that every single dibur between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Moshe was preceded with Vayikra El Moshe. The question that I raise is, Rashi, the phrase Vayikra El Moshe appears twice before in Sefer Shemot. Twice before. So the Balei Kriya will be challenged to find out where it says Vayikra El Moshe twice in Sefer Shemot. And Rashi says nothing. That Vayikra El Moshe is Lashon Chiba. He waited until Sefer Vayikra, and I believe that's significant. Why? Moshe Rabbeinu here is making the presentation of what? Of a korban. Laws of korbanot. Everybody knows that the purpose of a korban is not to sacrifice an animal. A person is supposed to recognize that they are supposed to be on the Mizbeach. That you have to be prepared to be makriv yourself on the Mizbeach. And that cannot be communicated, that expectation, that level of service to HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot be communicated with Lashon Kasher. Vayedaber Hashem El Moshe L'mor is the standard introduction, and Daber is always Lashon Kasher, Rashi always says that, as opposed to Vayomer. So maybe when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us, Loi Signoi, he can Moshe Rabbeinu, can be taught. But to expect that you're willing to be makruf yourself on the Mizbeach, total dedication and sacrifice to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for that to succeed, you need Vayikra El Moshe, Lashon Chiba. That's why I believe you have to start teaching little kids Vayikra, because of that opening comment of Rashi. The only way you're going to succeed with your little Talmidim, to teach them anything, is if you express Lashon Chiba, just as HaKadosh Baruch Hu did with Moshe Rabbeinu at that time. Otherwise, you're going to come in with an iron fist hand, you're never going to succeed with them. But anyway, that's a little drush. Fine. Now take a look at the Rambam. And the Rambam made himself oblivious to the Torah's Kahan. Totally oblivious. You have in front of you the Rambam, Perek Beis, Hilchos Yisur and Mizbeach, Halacha Yud, I bracketed it for you. Says the Rambam. Behema shinolad ba achas min hafreitios haosros osame achila. Any animal that develops one of the trefos, which prohibit it from being eaten, because the Maseches Chulin doesn't deal with korbanos. Maseches Chulin deals with our capacity to eat meat. And the Torah says, kol nevelo utrefo lo sochelu. You know what I mean? Trefo meat. So anything which is defined as trefo, which prohibits you from eating, asura l'gavim ha-mizbeach, is prohibited unto the mizbeach. Now what pasuk should the Rambam have quoted? Min ha-behema l'haytiyah sashvei. It's exactly how the Torah is done. Look what the Rambam writes. Harehu omer, ha-kvidehu no l'fech osecha, ha-yir tzecha o ha-yisa panecha. This is from the Haftarah of Parshas Tolmos. It's from Malachi. Sefer Malachi. And Malachi is blasting Am Yisrael for bringing inferior korbanot unto HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Arur nochel v'yesh be'edro zakar. Cursed should be who decides to give up the ugly ones in his lot and decides those are the korbanot. And here he says, Hakrivehu no lefechosecha. You're going to offer something inferior. Hayirtzecha, will that be served to please you in God's arms? Oh, Hayirtzecha, oh, Hayirtzecha, is he going to show nisiat panim to Yisa Hashem? Will Hashem show you any favors by bringing him an ugly-looking thing? So one of the ugly-looking things that the Rambam describes is a trefa, an animal that is diseased. Under those circumstances, you are not permitted to bring it. So, why did the Rambam abandon a pasuk in the Chumash, minat trefa, minat zayin, a black and white Parvus Kahanim, abandon that pasuk, and suddenly go to a pasuk in Malachi to establish the principle? Because he wants to teach us something. What principle does he want to teach us? That if you have to ask, what is the lack, what is the deficiency in offering such a thing as a korban? If you bring something with a physical blemish, a baal mum, why are those things, or a trefa, why are those things possible? Give me one overarching phrase, which the Rambam, he uses it sometimes. It's called ma'us. It's disgusting. What? It's abominable. That you bring to the mizbeah something that what? That you don't want. Exactly. You don't need it. It's not going to be, what do I need? It's not, give it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, this particular principle, once you see that trefa is a psul, because it lacks the capacity for ritsui, it doesn't enable you to what? To be merutzeh in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you now have the capacity, according to the Rambam, to expand the psul to anything where there is an element of ritzui. Any other mitzvah where there is a halacha in ritzui. What does ritzui mean? Where the mitzvah is done, targeted to accomplish a certain objective. Normally we don't think of mitzvot that are designed to accomplish a certain objective. We do a mitzvah for one reason only, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said so. In a handful of mitzvot, the Gemara itself, Chazal, has told us that the purpose of this mitzvah is to find favor in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu for a particular phenomenon. What is the Arba Minim looking to please HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What decision does HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to make for Chag HaSukkot? Al HaMayim. Okay, that's correct. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is done Al HaMayim. The most important decision that he has to make for the survival of mankind. So, Lula has this halacha of ritzu. I once told you this in the Shitas HaRaivit. Shitas HaRitva. The Ritva, when we did on Daf Lamed Omid Aleph, when we did the sugya of Mitzvah Haba Ba'Avera, the Ritva answered the question which Tosfos asked, which we discussed on Daf Lamed Hay as well. Why is it that matzah gezula is not possible because of mitzvah habar baver? We're coming to the answer of a present. If I steal your matzah, why is it that I can be mekayim the mitzvah with matzah gezula? And it's not mitzvah habar baver. So everybody's got their own terms, says the Ritva, because matzah is not a mitzvah sheyesh bo ritzui. And the psul of mitzvah habar baver only applies to a mitzvah which has a component of ritzui to it, and therefore it's inappropriate to be mirata HaKadosh Baruch Hu when you're violating an avera to violate this particular mitzvah. And the origin of mitzvah of avera is korban. We saw that in Daf Lamed Amud Aleph, right? Soine gezel ba'ola, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu hates an ola that is brought through theft, because korban is designed to be mirata. For this reason, the Rav explained, that's why, according to the Rambam, we can understand why the Gemara is willing to entertain the possibility that the psul of a trefa will apply to an esrog. because there is this common denominator that if something is found physically deficient in relationship to a carbon, and thereby lacking the capacity to engage, to be miratzeh, so too, if we can identify equivalent, similar features of an esro, which resemble some of the psulim of trefa found in chulin, they also will now be under this particular halacha of hakriveyuno lefechasecha and hayitza ponecha lo, based on the fact that we are now establishing this type of a psul in relationship to an esro, because it shares the capacity of ma'us. If this is the case, and the Baal HaMor says it black on white, right here in our Gemara, and this is the difference between Rashi and the Rabbi Nechanan, according to Rashi, it's a psul and hagar. What we're talking about is peeled skin, because it has the discolored effect, is that Rashi learns that it's only possible when it's partially peeled. That's a psul and hagar. Okay, so now we just go over something we said 50,000 times. If you're a chachmi svaradnik, psulei hagar only limited to the first day. If you're a chachmi ashkenaz, psulei hagar are possible all 7 days. Our psak is, they're kosher, just don't make a brach on it, as I told you last week. But if it's another psul, it's a psul of ma'uz, then it's possible 7 days, l'chol ha'days. And the Baal HaMor says black on white. Even though I paskin that psulei hagar, apostle only first day yantiv, I agree with that with all chachmei svarad, with the Ramban and Udi Imei, but this psul of know the trefa, things that resemble the trefa of an animal, says the Baal HaMor, apostle all 7 days, because it's ma'us, it's ishgat, it's revolting in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So now let's see.
How do we know that Lulav is Ritzui by Lulav?
Because we know that Chazal tell us that it's Bala Rakhul Salamai. I didn't make that up. The Medrash says it, black on white. Yeah?
According to the Rambam,
yes.
An animal that has bone, that's no skin except for a cella, that wouldn't be Moz.
Okay, I hear what you're saying. I can't answer that question. I can't answer. The definition of ma'us is if it's a trefa. That's all. Is there any logic behind it? Here, since the skin is going to redevelop, therefore it's not considered ma'us. That's all.
As the owner, you're going to want that animal. It's going to regrow.
Correct.
Right now, I don't want it. I mean, but
it still has to. If I wait a little, it's not bad. I can have it. Can you know? It's going to regenerate, and therefore it's not considered disgusting in my own. It's not inferior. I just need a little time. And this halakha of trefa is also applicable to a human being. The halakha is ha'hayrig is ha'trefa is pater. If somebody kills a trefa, you are not chayiv nisa. So if you knew for a fact that somebody had a defect, a physical defect, by which there is, which would render the person halakhically as a trefa, and you execute him, you're not chayiv misa, based on the fact, because you killed a dead person. I'm not saying you get masiyana on Yom Kippur, but you're not going to be executed. Why? Because you're considered a dead person. Because trefa eina chaya yosem yudeis chayish. I once heard a share from Chaim Soloveitchik, the Rav's son, and he said, this is the most bizarre halacha he ever heard. Number one, it's one of the only halachos that are not found anywhere in a Mishnah or a Medrash halacha. It's said only by an Amira. And number two, medicine has shown that it's absolutely not true. Many of the defects which classify as a trefa, and both an animal and certainly a human being, live a lot longer than 12 months. So if the entire basis of the psul is derived based on the fact that trefa and achaya, that is based on the medical knowledge of that time.
Today we have better medical knowledge, and we know that these types of trefoil, an animal, and as well as a human being, can live for a very, very long time. Very long time.
Isn't a kidney, a missing kidney, one of them? I think it's one of the eight. I think it's one of them. Everybody knows you can live without a kidney today. One kidney. So he once gave Osher and Trefa. He says, it's my, he quotes no pasuk, no nothing. He just says, Trefa pata mimisa. How Eric is a Trefa pata. And I'm Eric. No pasuk, no nothing. He said, very strange. But it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. Yeah. Now, interesting it is to note that even though the Rambam is the Mara D'Shmaitza of this halacha, please turn the page for just a second. And the Rambam, although believing that what he says is true, disagrees with the Baal Amar and says there ain't no such psul that's more than possible more than one day. Let's read this famous Rambam, this most famous Rambam in Hilchos Lulav. Perkes, halacha tes. Kol eilu she'omarnu shehem psulin. Nitne mumin shebiarnu. Anything that we said is possible, based on any physical defect, as we've explained. Ol nitne gedel ugeneva. Or what? Something being stolen? The Yantav Rishon Bilvan. Avo, the Yantav Sheni, Im Shar Hayamin, Hakol Kosher. But the Yantav Sheni, with all the other 7 days, everything is kosher. And the Ravid goes bananas, and he says, how did the Rambam forget about the Sugya of Mitzvah Bavavei? The Gemara says, when is the first day possible based on the possible stolen possible only on the first day, or the Kachdam Lachem? But on the second day, why is it stolen one pasuk? Because mitzvah b'avera. So the Rambam already asked, why did the Rambam forget about the halacha mitzvah b'avera? And he eliminated the psul of Geneva only for the first day of Yom Kippur. It's a good question. So there's much tire to be said about that, but not for now. Fine. But here the Rambam himself says, even though it might be a psul of mum or trefa, it's only limited to the first day of Yantav. I don't know, that's what he says. So since the rest of the Yantav is only the Rabbanan allowed any type of physical defect, whether it's a lack of hadar, whether it's a trefa or not. Lama gain by the Gemara. Lama gain by the Gemara. Says the Gemara, top of the page, Nistak or Nikav, if the Esrog is Nistak, split, or there is a hole in it, it's possible. Tani Ula Barchanina, Nikav Nekev Mifulash B'mashihu, U'she'eino Mifulash B'ki'isar. If the whole of the esrog is mifulash, and mifulash is a the Ravid writes, there are two possible explanations of mifulash. One, that it goes from one side of the esrog to the core, to the seeds in the middle. Has anybody ever taken part in esrog? Yeah? So what's inside? See? So if it reaches till the seeds itself, that's automatically mefulash. And the Ravid says, kacha dati note. Ela, however, shehabahag kfar posak, the bahag already said, the balachas kedolos already said, that in order to be mefulash, it has to be mefulash like Hilchos Shabbos. It has to go from one end all the way through to the other end. So our ol that goes from one side of the esrog to the other side of, even if it's a tiny little hole, it is possible. But if it doesn't go through the entire one, it's a nekev she'eino mifulash, then in order to passel, it has to be the size of an isar. Any translation damage? How much the size of an isar is? How much is it? What?
A coin.
A coin. Right. Isar is a coin. Isar atalki. Right. The Gemara, the Mishnah in Kedushin. The test of Kedushin. Isar atalki. What? It doesn't say. It's a coin. Size of a coin. Looks like a die.
So it's mifulash according to the first way, meaning just not to the seed?
To the seed. That's ain't over mifulash, not to the seed. Correct. Yeah. Fine. Now, in each one of these cases, whether it's mifulash or not, there's one thing that has to be, you have to be stressed. Nothing of the flesh has been removed when you created the hole. When you stick something into a fruit, and now, let's assume you'll stick a needle in, and you'll pull the needle out, if some of the flesh is removed with it, then it's possible for a different reason. It's chaser, precisely, it's missing some flesh. We know that Nesra the chaser is definitely possible first nayan. So all Rishonim point out that this discussion is only when there is a hole, but there is no flesh removed. Even if it's the size of an isar, size of a dime, it's just that there is a hole, but upon removing the blunt item, or whatever it is, that created the hole, no flesh has been removed. Ba'i Rava. No du ba'esrog simane treifa mahu. If an esrog develops simane treifa, what is the halacha? Says the Gemara, Maikim li ba'yolei. What could he possibly have had in mind? E niklaf, if he meant what? That the skin is peeled. Tanina. The Mishnah says black on white. Niklaf is possible. E nistak, if it's split open completely, split open, Tanina, the Mishnah says nistak is possible. E nikev, if it's got a hole, so one of the trefos in Chulin is nikav krum shomoach. There is a little hole, a hole in what? In the membrane around the brain. That's automatic. Even a little hole, a mashu. So nikav is already in the Mishnah too. The Mishnah talks about nikav. So what could there possibly be which Rava is entertaining the question whether simani trefa happened to apply to what? To an Ezra. Now, the Gemara understands fully well that talking about a missing kidney is not going to apply to an Ezra. It's got to be some psul of Maseches Chulin, which at least theoretically could be described in terms of a fruit. So these types of things, where you peel the skin, that's like peeling the skin of the animal, peeling the fruit. I can understand that. Where you have a hole in the membrane, well, there is this core, the inside of the core of the esrog. That's also like the membrane. So when you make a hole, that could be comparable to it. So the Gemara answers, Ki kami bayalei, ki de'ula amar Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara's question is predicated on a statement that Ula made in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Reya shenishpecha ki kiton ksheira. Reya shenishpecha ki kiton. I have no idea what I'm talking about. I read the English translation and I have no idea what it's talking about. Something, a lung, that is, the lung is what? It's completely surrounded by its membrane, but the lung itself has been liquefied.
But is that described it accurately?
What?
Yeah, membrane.
So what happens when the lung is liquefied? What happens? What happens?
Necrosis.
Yeah.
I can't use them.
So, that's what it is. So, that type of thing, the Omar effect, that's what the... Now, the Mishnah didn't talk about that. Where you have something like the Reya, the lung, which is Nishpecha, it becomes liquefied, Kikitam. So that's Kshera. V'alma Rava, v'hu didkaima simbapunha. When do we say that such a thing is kosher? Only when dikaimi sipunha. Avo lo kaimi sipunha trefa. But if it's low chymy, can anybody give me an English translation of that?
Bronchial.
The bronchial tubes are what about it?
They're still intact.
So that would be the case here as well. So hachamai. So the Gemara says, here is his question. Dilma hasam hu delo shalit ba'avira hadabari. There, since air does not get exposed to the inside of the lung, as long as the membrane of the lung is intact, even though the lung itself is liquefied, it can recover. It can be healed. Is that true medically? That if you have a liquefied lung, it can somehow become a lung again? Is that possible, doctors? I haven't seen it yet. Okay. Aval hacha de shalit ba'avira. But in our case, where air is obviously going to be getting into the estrogen, and that's going to make it sruche masrachas, so it's going to begin to stink and rot. So maybe that's why it's possible. Or maybe it makes no difference. So that was Rava's question. Whether a comparable thing, apparently around the seeds of the esrog, the seed that there is a little compartment around the seeds of the esrog, which should be viewed like a membrane, and the inside of the membrane of the, and inside of the esrog itself is now the seed part has turned completely liquid, but it's not oozing out of the fruit; it remains within the core, just like a liquefied lung. So if you like what I'm talking about, fine. Just like a liquefied lung. But the difference is that by a liquefied lung, it's totally inside the animal, therefore it doesn't get exposed to the air, it's not going to rot. But this thing, how did it become? Because somebody, cut it open. That, you know, you made a hole in it. And that's why it became liquefied or something. So therefore it's going to be exposed to the air, and it will become saruach, it will start rotting, and that's why it's possible. That was his question. Okay. Very nice. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. Hard to spend on something you don't really understand. Toshma. Esrog tafuach. Saruach. Kavush or shaluk. Kushi lavan umenumar pasul. Here we have a braisa. Esrog tafuach or saruach. Tafuach is the Gemara will explain in a minute, where something can be totally rotten on the inside, or but not on the outside, or on the outside but not on the inside. So one is one and one is the other. The Gemara will explain in a second. Or if it's kavush or shaluk, what did you do for some strange reason? You took your esrog and you soaked it in water for 24 hours. Or you cooked your esrog. Okay? So the esrog is possible. Why is the esrog possible if you cooked it? Rashi doesn't say that. It just says it's possible. And Rashi actually says, you didn't soak it in water. Where did you soak it in? Take a look at Rashi.
In vinegar.
Right. You pickled it. Precisely. Now here, where you pickle something in vinegar or mustard, chardos, mustard or vinegar, it doesn't actually require 24 hours to be considered kimavusha. It can do so less. How much less? That'll be up to the pickle man. He knows how much time it's got to be in the brine in order to create the pickle effect. It doesn't necessarily have to be 24 hours. But if you leave it in water, just in water, even though it has no taste, halakhically it's considered kavush is kimahushal midurabanan b'chalakarikud. You take a piece of meat and you soak it in milk for 24 hours, midurabanan, you violated laws of b'chalakarikud. Midurabba, not Midoraisa. So why is it that such a thing should be possible? And it's very difficult to understand, but perhaps it's to be borrowed, halacha to be borrowed from a second brachos. Anybody know the difference, Rabotai? Why is it that an apple sauce, you make a shahat v'nivivaro, and why is it that on Brussels sprouts that you crush, or tzimis, why do you make a bar priya dama on tzimis? Correct. In relationship to vegetables, there is no halach of tzura sapri. It does not have to maintain the tzura of the pri. That is why all vegetable soups make a bar priya dama. Every one of them. Why? Because it's made out of vegetables, even though you don't even see the vegetables. So you have pea soup. Totally, regular soup, pea soup, no peas in it, you don't see any. You make a bar priya dama. With fruit, there has to be tzura sapri. There is a halacha that if something, according to one opinion of brachos, as soon as something is mevushal, it forfeits its tzura sapri, and automatically reduces it to what? To a shahakol niyabid barok. If that's shalom darko v'kach. If that's not the way it's typically eaten. So if you have a fruit which is typically eaten raw, and you decided to cook it, that forfeits its shame free, and therefore it's reduced either to a barakri adama or to a shahakol, whether it's barakri adama or shahakol. So take for example, if somebody were to cook a grapefruit, cook a grapefruit. Take a whole grapefruit and cook it. So it's crazy. Nobody eats cooked grapefruits.
Okay.
The halakha would be, what?
Canned grapefruits are cooked. You buy them in a can and they have cooked.
No, they're not really cooked. They're steamed. It's not really cooked. It's steamed. So, and that's a very big difference because we say that steaming per se does not constitute bishul for bishul akum purposes. You're allowed to buy canned fruit with just the syrup in it, and we're not worried that a Gentile steamed it, because we say that steaming is not considered. So here, that's the reason. If it's a halacha in the pre, an etzrog is the type of fruit that normally would not be eaten, would not be eaten cooked. You would eat it raw, like a lemon. So under those circumstances, once you cook it, it forfeits its shame pre. Once it's forfeited shame pre, therefore it doesn't qualify because it's not pre a tadar. And this soul, alibi de kuli alma, is possible all 7 days. Because it's not a hadar issue, it's lacking in the shame pre. So, shaluk, it's funny that the Gemara never used the word mevushal. The Gemara used the expression shaluk. And technically the word shlakot in Masechus Brachos means that it's overcooked. Cooked more than you should be cooking it. And the mevushal is only regular cooking. It's a little difficult to understand why is it that they use this particular expression here. I don't know why.
We learned that what determines the esrog shame free is whether you eat it or not, period. So now so we're going...
Correct, but this might have something to do with it.
Well, we didn't say,
that's what this price is in. Since Al-Pidin, since normally it's not cooked, you have now forfeited shame pre.
Because it's edible.
Even if it's edible. When you cook a grapefruit, I'm not going to say it's inedible. Can you try it tonight? See what it tastes like?
My answer, we harped on this whole idea that it's edible, it's messy.
Correct, that's from a halakhic point of view. Here there is another halacha that's contributing. The halacha said it's not called a fruit. In other words, if you were to cook this esrog and eat it, you'd make a shahakoni of idvaro, or perhaps a bar priya damba, but not a bar priya eitz. Because it's forfeited, it's surat apri. Surat apri is two things. Number one, that you see the whole thing, plus that it be eaten in the normal conventional way in which it is eaten. So that's possible. Because, okay, that's a good question. Because it did grow ultimately from the ground. Every tree is, in effect, a pre-adamah. But because it's been elevated to a pre, it's earned its special bracha. So now the question is, if you strip it, if it's a special designation, does it go back to pre-Adama, to number two, or does it go all the way to Shachol? We actually say Shachol. We don't say Bayer pre-Adama and applesauce. Right? You say Shachol and applesauce. Because
a baked apple.
A baked apple? So baked apple is, that's something that people eat. It's not the, that's the Darko B'tach. People do bake apples. And as a result, I would say Bayer pre-Ais on it. Because the bishul, the baking, does not cause it to forfeit its shein pri. It's still called a pri, because that's the way people eat it. So it has not forfeited its surat pri by having a baked apple. Because a lot of people do eat baked apples. Put a little cinnamon stick in it, you know how to make it. But now, what else? An esrog hakushi. A black esrog is possible. Lovon, a vaisa esrog, a white love esrog is possible. Menumar possible. And a menumar is possible. Esrog kikadur. If an esrog is round like a ball, it's possible. Vyesh omrim afatiyum. And so to a twin esrog, where you have two esrogim that grow like grafted one into the other. Siamese twins. It looks like two esrogim into one. That's possible too. That psul is based on the fact that the Torah uses the expression pre-eitz hadar, pre-echad atanotel, ve'ein atanotel shtei perot. So that's the psul, that it's a halacha. Nothing wrong with the mi. It is an esrog. Nothing deficient with it, but it's too many, and the halacha requires that you only take one. Esrog
hapsuli. Esrog is about Tuesday.
No.
If you took two esrog in your hand.
It's an excellent question. What you're asking the question is, we've already discussed on Lama Dalin and Beis. Are you permitted to take additions of the meaning which the Torah required? There is not one person who allows multiple esrogim.
That's not
like no, not one allows multiple lulavim. The only debate is everybody allows multiple hadassim, and Tosfos says hadassim in our rovos. Now, I don't know why. I don't know. Conceptually, as we pointed out at the time, it's hard to distinguish why you will violate Baal Tosfos by taking two esrogim but not four hadassim. The only you explained that was Ravan's Lichtenstein's that was his answer. But other than that, it's very difficult to understand. Or certainly Rambam Shita. To our Ravas he doesn't apply, but Hadassim you can add. Can't take three Ravas, but can take four Hadassim. Logic is very difficult. Let me get right there. Esrog Haboser, Rabbi Akiva Posel, the Chachamim Machshirin. We'll get to it a little later. I'm going to come back. Boser is a stage in a fruit's development. You find this in Zrayim all the time. And we'll get to it a little later. Gemara will make an attempt to define it, so we'll get to it probably next time. So it's going to be a machlokes Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim. Rabbi Akiva posa Chacham Machshir. Godlo bitfus. The also can mean beria acheres puzzle. If you, as the esrog began to develop, you put a mold around it, so now it's shaped into something other than the way a normal esrog looks. So that's also puzzle. Ketani mias, however, the Brisa mentioned tapuach and sarua. What is my love tapuach mi bachutz? Visaruach mi bifnim. Is it not that what? That something like this is rotted on the outside and on the inside? Does it mean both? Both? In which case, this now should be compared to the Reya Shenishpecha Kikiton. In the Reya Shenishpecha Kikiton, even though it's liquefied, it's still not rotten. It's still not totally, destroyed. Here too, the liquid seeds inside are liquidy, and that's what it means, saruach, but it's not totally rotten yet. So therefore, it should say that it's okay. Should answer Rava's question. Answers to Gemara, no. Answers to Gemara, no. Ed the ed mebachutz loy ed ed mebachutz veloy tash ha de tafach afogav de loy sarach ha de sarach afogav de loy tafach. Both things are puzzle, and they're both on the outside. One is that it's rotten, and the other one it starts to smell. Sirchon can also mean a smell. It smells terrible. So even though it doesn't look rotten, but the smell itself will automatically disqualify it, and therefore this has nothing to do with that liquefied inside of the esrog, which might be compared to the lung that has been completely liquefied, yet the membrane remains intact.
So this seems good, really, according to Rashi. The whole concept of treifa is rejected. The Rabbah is the one who brings it in.
That is correct. That's correct. Bottom line of the Gemara is we have not yet found one case where no the Basi Mani Trefer apply above and beyond the Mishnah's case. So Rabbeinu Hananel's defense would be that the cases in the Mishnah are cases which are comparable to Trefer. Nikloff is the one that peels skin. So
isn't that Mari didn't do it for us? Once you open the door, I can go.
That's correct. Precisely. Precisely. Okay, stop here, and we'll continue next, actually, there's a wedding next week. Foreman wedding is next Monday night. Tuesday I have a wedding also. Okay, so we'll meet in 2 weeks. I do. That's the last week before Pesach? Okay.